Everyone's asleep.
Everyone but Frank Zappa.
Everyone but me.
Welcome.
And I can't help feel like I'm doing this.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We broadcast live 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and now turning into 4 days a week on Rush FM in Hamilton, which will also broadcast in Raglan and soon Tauranga. So, you know, I'm getting on more coverage in New Zealand, which is good because I am a New Zealander. And what was interesting is when I started out broadcasting, everybody, it was actually an American network called American Freedom Radio that allowed a New Zealander to talk the truth about New Zealand first before New Zealanders would jump on the bandwagon. Isn't that interesting? Frickin' tall poppy syndrome. Speaking of people in the land down under, my very special guest and very good friend, Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com, joining us today for the first hour. Max, welcome to the program.
Nice to be on again, Vinny. Thanks for asking me on, brother.
Mm-mm. Now, in fact, I've got to give credit to my guitarist, Mike, here, who just had his guitar fingers crushed by a boulder this morning. He recommended I get you back on again because he just loves listening to you, and he would be listening live right now, except he's on his way out to get some herbal products and stuff like that to heal up his fingers. So, he also wanted me to ask you about an incident that you had. Say, you apparently took over a council meeting at some point?
No, that wasn't me. That was a person in Victoria. I actually interviewed them for the radio show that's going to be on this afternoon. It's a lady in Victoria who actually challenged the authority of their local council in Melton, Victoria. And she had quite an amazing response, actually. Like, she challenged them to their jurisdiction, basically, and realised that they have no jurisdiction. They're just a private body that decides it can make up rules and regulations. See, that's what councils have kind of turned into. They're calling themselves local government now, but they're not actually local government. They're local councils, you know. In Australia and in New Zealand as well, you've got the same constitution as us. Local government is actually state government. That's as local as it gets. And if you look at it back in the old days, I mean, the council, who are these guys? We used to find members of our community that we trusted. These were respectable members of our community, and we would put them in a position where they could liaise with government for us and give us the get the stuff we need from government, the money and the finances we need to have viable communities. But they kind of turned that around, and now they're creating bylaws and they're doing all sorts of stuff like this, and they're actually positioning themselves as the mini hierarchy in the area, you know what I mean? And that's not what we employed them to do. And actually, we're having a referendum this year. Are you having one over there in New Zealand? Are you having a referendum to do with the Constitution?
No.
Because you guys have the same Constitution as us. The Constitution of Australia is the same Constitution that sits for New Zealand. I think it's the Constitution it's about the southern colonies here. It's for Australia and New Zealand. And there's a referendum they want to slip in later this year to give local councils constitutional recognition. And this is what's been getting people's attention. Now, they tried this in 1977. They tried it in 1988. We voted no both times. But they're pushing it again this year. They're saying, oh, we need to give local government constitutional recognition in order to ensure continued federal funding. All right? So they're calling them local government already, and yet they're asking them to give them constitutional recognition. And if they were government, they'd already have constitutional recognition. So they're kind of planting that seed in people's minds. And this is all going on this year. And what this will do is this will put the power to make law in the hands of local council, which means that you've got six local councillors which will just be able to say, do you want to do this? And they will vote yes, and that's it. It becomes a law in that area. And this is what this lady, her name's Irina Iliadis, this is what she discovered in Victoria. She basically asked them what a referendum was and how they presumed to have the authority to create law, because we all voted no in the last referendum in 1988 about giving them constitutional recognition, which is essentially the equalisation of powers. We voted no, we won't allow you to do that. And yet they're making laws anyway, so she challenged this. And she found that they all basically snuck out. They all walked out. They refused to participate in the proceedings. So they basically took over the council chambers. And then they went back next week to ask more questions, or next month to ask more questions. And they found that the council had enacted a bylaw in their absence to prevent them from doing what they did last time. That's kind of how easy it is. Now they can come and say, no, you can't do that because the law says so. But it's not law, it's just the guidelines for their company, because that's all council is, it's a private company. So she went and took over this whole meeting and she found all this out. She posted a video on YouTube called Pirates of the Suburbs, and I recommend that everybody watch it. Everybody in Australia, everybody in New Zealand needs to watch this, because this is how your local council actually works, and they're trying to amend that this year.
Mm. We have similar incidences in New Zealand. I mean, even council rules, like as in the rules of a council meeting, they think they're laws, but they're not. And I remember I was thrown out of a council meeting. I didn't say a word. I was just sitting there. I was simply recording the council meeting. And they said, get out. And I was like, well, hold on a second. It's a public meeting. I'm a member of the public. I'm just filming it for the public record. Threw me out.
Yeah, exactly. They tried to do that with Rena as well, but she said, well, look, you know, according to the Listing Devices Act and the Recording Devices Act, I'm allowed to film. And they said, oh, no, we've got a law that says you can't. That was a council law. But, I mean, even according to the Constitution, I mean, any law that is not the, you know, that is, you know, against the Constitution is void. Any law against federal law is void. You know, the latter shall always have, you know, if it's recognised by the Constitution, then it always has precedence. And it says in Section 109 of the Constitution, that's what it says, that the Constitution has precedence. So it says that there's a federal act, the Listing Devices Act, that says you can record anything. And that's what she was using. But they said, no, our law overrides that. So they're claiming they're a higher authority than the Constitution. That's treason. That's sedition. That's very, very bad. And so she started a process by which these councils can be held accountable for their actions. They went in and delivered a public writ to them last week, I think, and they've had a bit of progress, but it's going to go on for about another month. And people are waking up to what's going on here, because we've got to nip all this in the bud. And the government knows that people are waking up to it. People are waking up to the fact that their rates are going up, all the prices of living is going up ridiculously, and it's all stemming from local councils. You know, and everyone's passing the buck everywhere, but people are starting to wake up that local councils don't actually have any authority. And that's what this referendum's about. And not only that, Julia Gillard, like, this is a very important referendum. This is a very, very important issue, and they're brainwashing the public into thinking it's about public funding. It's about getting more money for your area, which is a complete lie. It's about granting the equalisation of powers to local councils, which is very, very dangerous. And what they're doing is she's called an election, Julia Gillard has called an election in September, I think, and they're going to slide the referendum in with the election. So you'll be going and ticking one box here and ticking another box here, thinking, I don't even want to be here today. Damn these elections, they're such a hassle. So you're not really going to be giving this referendum any scrutiny, and you're just going to be thinking, well, this is about getting more funding for my local area, so I should vote yes. And you're not even going to look at it. And the population of Australia is probably dumbed down enough now that they might very well sign yes on this referendum. And if they do, this will give local councils the ability to milk the wealth of each district, suburb by suburb, household by household.
This is why I'm inherently against democracy, because if the majority of people are frickin' idiots and are completely uninformed, it means that the complete idiots who are completely uninformed won't manage to rule over everybody.
Well, that's the problem with it. That's absolutely the problem with it. And that's what we're seeing. And what's also very, very telling about this is that these local councils, which are supposed to be our elected officials, our people, like I said, you know, trusted members of the community that we put there to liaise with government for us, what it turns out that all of these local councils are getting their directives from organisations such as the Municipality Association of Australia. And there's subsidiary Municipality Association of Victoria, of New South Wales, of Queensland, you know, like there's the state ones as well. And what you find is that this municipality association has very close ties to the United Nations, and what it's pushing is Agenda 21. This is why we're seeing local councils starting to control things like childcare and all sorts of stuff. They're not supposed to be there for that. They're supposed to be there to manage our infrastructure for us. They're our spokespeople to government. But they've turned themselves into local government, and now they're controlling all these aspects of our lives. And this is Agenda 21. This is basically, through this referendum, they'll be basically giving under the counter control of the districts of Australia, district by district, they'll be giving under the counter control to the United Nations. That's basically what's going on here. It's almost like handing Australia to a foreign power.
Now, I also talk with Topher Field, I think it might have been last week or the week before, and he was telling me about, you know, these bushfires that recently happened in Australia and how the local councils had banned people from collecting firewood and banned people from cutting down trees on their property that were fire hazards and things like that. And sure enough, a massive, massive bushfire destroyed everybody's frickin' property.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
And that's straight out of the Wildlands Project, which is part of Agenda 21 too.
Yeah, exactly. So they want to force all these people. They want to force people out of the country areas, force them into cities, force them into populated areas. And basically what we're going to see over the next 10 to 15 years is we're going to see all the wealth transferred out of Western countries into third world countries. I'll bring up the third world now. They'll crash the first world down to the state of the fourth world. And they'll transfer all the wealth into the third world because we created the third world by giving them money, imposing currency on them and giving them stuff to spend. They didn't even know what money was 150 years ago, you know. We gave them that, so we managed to place them in a state of scarcity so we could take their resources and basically create the third world. And they see the poverty that they live in, and they watch Hollywood movies and they see all the stuff that they believe the West has because they only see one side of it. Because they never actually travelled there and experienced it. They've only seen it on television and on movies. And so they want that. They want that lifestyle. So you go to a third world country and you have something, you have technology, something Western, and they love this. They love it. They love you. They love it. They just want the technology. So now, and also you'll find that all of these third world countries, these are still quite connected people. They're very earthy. They're very nice. They're very kind people. They're very thoughtful, very caring. They're very much connected to the planet still. But they've got this bamboozlement of television. They've been given just enough to make it very, very enticing. So now we transfer wealth to them. And what will happen is over a couple of generations, they will turn into this, like what Japan's done, what China's doing, what we did. I mean, they'll turn into these huge technological monstrosities. And over a period of two or three generations, they'll lose that connection to Earth, and then the wealth will be taken from them and transferred somewhere else. That's the way they do it. So, see, Agenda 21, they only really needed us to put this, all of this infrastructure in place. They gave us all the toys and trinkets and civilization to play with so we could put the infrastructure in place for them. Basically, what they wanted to do with Australia was turn it into a mine. That's why it's called Australia, which is AU, gold, Australis, Great Southern Land. LIA is a corporation. So you've got the Corporation for the Southern Adjunctment for Gold, basically, is what Australia means. It's a mine. That's what they want it for. And they needed us to create that, so they had to give us this technology and this civilization so we'd do it. Now we've done it, they just take it all away. They squeeze us into concentrated population areas. They only need enough of us here to run the system. They don't need all these other useless eaters, as Kissinger calls them. All they need is enough people to run the infrastructure. And that's what they do. So now they'll transfer all the wealth into the third world. So you'll see this happening over the next 10 or 15 years. And if this... this referendum goes ahead and they vote yes on this, and this power is given to local councils, that will be the mechanism that the United Nations needs to get in there and undermine the country, district by district, suburb by suburb, household by household, and that'll be it. It'll be all over for Australia if this passes.
Mm. And if they can physically force you into it, that's what's going to happen. And I was just thinking about this morning, Max. I mean, if somebody's doing something illegal, you can't stop them with words if they can force you anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, that's very much. And the government can't do anything illegal because it creates the legislation. Legal is
well, unlawful.
Legislation. I know, unlawful, that's a big difference, you see. But they've been told, no, it means the same thing. You know, legislation is law. No, it's not. Legislation is words on paper designed to... remove law and replace it with the will of politicians. That's what legislation is. So that which is illegal, you can never claim the government's done anything illegal because they create the law. I mean, they create the legislation, so they just make sure that they can't do anything illegal because it's legislated that they can't, you know. But they break the law all the time. They're always acting unlawfully. And essentially what they're doing, I've been saying it for years, is they're in breach of trust. And this is a trust agreement. All of it's a trust agreement. The whole concept of government is a trust agreement. So that's where the remedy lies. But you need this groundswell of people to stand up and do it and say it and step above that which is legal and take it back to natural law and realize that, you know, we're all in this together, and you people that we elect to hold this planet in trust for us so we have a viable future have done a god-awful job. And not only that, but we believe that you are maliciously impoverishing the rest of the world in order to serve your own agenda. Exhibit A, the Earth. You know, So that's the way I think it needs to be approached.
Yeah. I came up with a joke yesterday, Max. Why did all the government-run schools have to be shut down?
Why?
Because they didn't have any principals.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, very true, mate. They don't have any principals at all. I mean, it's a pretty shocking state that we're in, and I think that people have to really take it to the next level this year, and you've got to start questioning this authority on every level that you can. We need everybody to do this. Start questioning. When you get your water rates, when you get your bills, when you get anything from government that is demanding you do anything, question it. Write letters to people. Question every single thing that they ask you to do. You know, we have to start doing this or we're going to lose our countries. You know, this is a very, very significant time in history, I think. We're at a real turning point. I think the 2012 date, the December 2012 date, the next, you know, three months is going to be absolutely crucial, what we do. And you can see the way they're playing it as well, even with the whole Sandy Hook thing, the way they've used that to vilify the whole truth community. That's what I put out a radio show a few weeks ago, and I said this was an American coup d'etat that was being used to not just take the guns, but to create conflict and vilify the truth movement. These are going to be the new enemy, and we're going to see more of these people being portrayed as the enemy. And just right on cue, just the other day, there's a guy called Philip Marshall, who's apparently a former pilot. Did you read about that one? Philip Marshall, former pilot and 911 conspiracy theorist, shoots his two teenagers and then himself, shoots his children and himself. So now we've got truthers going crazy, shooting their kids, right? We're going to see more of this. You're going to see when there's an incident, if they can tie it to the truth movement, they're going to do it in every single headline that you find, as much as they possibly can. That's what Sandy started, you know. Because they know who their enemy is. They know who's standing against them. They know who's having the most impact and who's speaking the truth about the government. And they need to drive a wedge between these people and the general community. You know, truthers need to be portrayed as crazy. And that's what Sandy Hook was one of the spin-offs of it. And that's the way it's been played. So you're going to see more of this. So pay attention to that too.
Yeah, it's quite a frustrating one because you realize that you know the truth and everybody else is wrong, yet everybody thinks you're crazy. and it drives you up the wall and actually starts to make you crazy. And that's the real problem that we're dealing with here is across the entire truth movement, we're getting frustrated by lack of being listened to. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. All right, let's bring that music down. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm really cutting out the music today because I've got Max Egan on the phone. And what were we talking about over the break? Ah, yes, freedom. What is it? Now, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard about the free man movement or being lawful and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, a lot of people come up to me and ask me, you know, why aren't I doing it? Why aren't I rescinding my birth certificate? Why aren't I doing all this? And I said, well, there's a couple of reasons. Mainly, the people who do that are constantly tied up in court. Secondly, the people that do that are broke. Thirdly, the people that do that are usually harassed by the authorities constantly. So if you're broke, constantly tied up in court, and constantly being unlawfully harassed by the authorities, is that freedom? No, that's freaking not. And that's why I don't do it. I'll say whatever I want to police officers and I'll argue with them. But as Max said over the break, you know, if there's three of them and one of you, I'm not going to push the issue. What do you think about this, man? And again, we just heard that Dean Clifford, who does this sort of thing, has been arrested and put into maximum security prison. Okay? Dean's never heard a fly. He's argued to the nines and been very successful. He's tied up in court, he's broke, and he gets constantly harassed by the authorities. It's precisely what I'm talking about. And now he's getting unlawfully thrown into a maximum fracking security prison. Okay? We're not free. We're not free until we're all free.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, and I have heard that. It was posted on my Facebook by a whole bunch of people. They're saying, could you please ring up the authorities in Manitoba and ask what's going on and find out what's going on? Apparently, they've dropped most of the charges against him, but they're still holding one against him. But they've thrown him basically into a maximum security prison, and they're keeping him in solitary because they're saying he's a danger. They have to keep him in maximum security because he's dangerous. And he's not dangerous. The only danger Dean poses is that he may educate the other prisoners on the realities of the law. So
that's why they're keeping him in solitary, because if you're in prison with a cell with somebody and you've got somebody who knows the law and is talking about it, hey, you've got a captive audience.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Robert Menard has also written a letter to the authorities there to find out what's going on. And so, yeah, it's quite a serious issue, and we'll just have to pay attention and see what happens with that. I mean, they're not going to be able to hold anything against him, but I think they're doing it just to scare him and to scare the truth community. I mean, look, you know, I think that I have no problem with people having driver's licenses, and because we need to know these people can drive a car. We need to know someone's competent. And I have no problem with people having plates on their car or some type of identification on their car in case they hurt somebody. And we need to find these people. People aren't always responsible. We need to know they can control the vehicle, and we need to know that we know what vehicle it was in case it kills somebody and they run away. So as far as that goes, I have no problem with aptitude tests and identification on vehicles. And I don't think it's really
or warrant a fitness, you know, make sure you ain't driving around with four bald tires and a rust bucket.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they can take it to ridiculous extremes sometimes in Australia. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, most people are pretty responsible about that anyway because they don't want to kill themselves, you know, well, hopefully. But, you know, I have no problem with certain things like that. My big thing that I want is freedom. You know, if we're going to have society and we're going to have what we've got, you know, this type of civilization, we need some sort of administrative mechanism to take care of it. Personally, I'd like to see us move to something completely different to this, but that would take a whole another show. But, you know, I have no problem with a lot of that sort of stuff, but I don't see why I should have to go and send back my birth certificate and do all of these things and fill out all of these forms in order to establish my freedom. Because if I'm going through parameters that they tell me I have to go through to establish my freedom, then how free do I think I am? You know, as far as I'm concerned, man was created equal. All men were created equal. If you want to get philosophical and spiritual about it, you could say the creator created man, and everything below that is fiction. It's all a man-made creation. This whole system is a man-made creation. And I am equal to every other man on the planet. Every other single living being on the planet is no better or no worse or no more or less important than me. We are all in this together. And my concern is that if the government is even presuming to inflict legislation upon me, which is going to damage me and damage the earth, and I'm forced to abide by all these rules, which don't seem to benefit anybody except government, then who are these people? How come they presume to have that right of ownership over me? And if these are elected officials that we all voted for and put there to manage our infrastructure for us, then the mere fact that they're choosing to do this indicates they're in breach of trust. That's my approach to the whole thing. So let's step above the legal system. And I'd like to see the whole planet, all the populations. I'd like to see everybody in Australia and everybody in New Zealand suddenly question their rates, question why they're getting all these bills, question why there's coal seam gas mining everywhere, and we can't stop it because police are acting like the security force for the mining companies. They're not doing what's right. They're just protecting corporate interests. They're not protecting the people. They're not protecting the country. We need the whole country to stand up and say, why is this happening? And you politicians who've allowed this, you need to show cause why you should not be held in breach of trust and taken and tried in one of your own courts. Yeah, we'll do it by your legal system because you're in breach of all of your own laws that you created, all the legislation you created that you dared to call law. You're in breach of all this stuff as well. Not only natural law and common law and everything else that would be construed as decent, you're in breach of the whole damn thing. So you need to show cause why we the people should not hold you in breach of trust and take you and try you in one of your own courts and throw you in one of your own jails. That's the attitude you need to have. Step above the whole thing and rein this in, rein this whole system in. Realize it's all fiction. We created the whole thing It's not this big monster. It's fiction. It only exists on paper. Government only exists on paper. The whole thing only exists on paper. So we need to take stock and rein it in and put it back in the right direction. That's my attitude to the whole thing, Vinny.
I reckon, mate. And also, I've determined in my life that justice is not a natural thing, okay? It's no more natural than a building that's constructed. It has to be willed and forced to be there, and people need to work at it constantly, okay? And there's no real justice in the natural world in most cases, you know? I mean, do you see wildebeest taking lions to court for eating one of their babies? Or anything like that. It just doesn't happen. Nature is really brutal and frickin' nasty. And humanity lives in this artificial bubble we call the legal system, which is supposed to, you know, regulate our behaviors and things of that nature, that we would normally have some kind of animalistic killing, cannibalism, rituals and dark magic and all of this kind of stuff that was been practiced in past centuries and millennia for goodness knows how frickin' long. There was no lawfulness. There was barely any respect. There was no piety. I mean, in some cases anyway. And today, I think that what's really challenging humanity is that we think that justice and lawful action is a natural thing. I'm of the complete opposite opinion. It is absolutely unnatural. You have to make justice happen in order for it to exist at all. And that's what people need to realize. You can't sit back and expect the right thing will happen. You have to step forward and make it happen. Nobody is going to save your ass. You have to save your own. You have to look out for the people standing next to you, and vice versa. You have to organize.
Yeah, look, that's really how it works as well. You do. You've got to stand up for what is right. You know, there'll always be natural law. Natural law will hold sway. Natural law, if you do the wrong thing, then bad things happen. That's the way natural law works, you know. And in a society where
Tell that to David Rockefeller. He's living the high life, and he's the biggest scumbag the earth has ever seen.
Well, that's because of this whole system that he controls, the whole monetary system. That's just the way it works. But, you know, what you're saying, everything you described is the way it was when we lived in this terrible, you know, unpious and black magic and, you know, wars and murders and terrible stuff going on. The real problem is that what we're seeing is that all of that stuff that you mentioned has now been legislated into reality, and because that's the way our governments live. That's the way the hierarchy live. That's the way the elite live. They do all of that stuff. They've just sort of excluded the rest of humanity. They've locked everybody down into this little box that they call the legal system. Well, they're free to still do all of those horrible things that they always have done for centuries. You know, but I think, you know, we're going to have to wake up and do something about it. It's really got to be taken to the next level. It's all very well talking about all of this sort of stuff on radio shows and making films about it. And I mean, we've done what we can to educate the people, but it's getting really serious this year. It's getting really serious. And you know, all the world's eyes need to be on Australia this year to see where Australia goes this year, because Australia is very much more ahead of many other countries, and so is New Zealand. We're very much more ahead of what it is in Europe, what it is in America, and we're going to see some major changes happen in this country, I think, over the next 6 to 8 months. And if this referendum comes in and gets they vote yes in this referendum, then it will be all over for the country. You know, if that change is made to our constitution, then that's the end of Australia. So I'll probably even move overseas at that point if that happens, because I can't see the point. You know,
where are you going to go to, Max? Where are you going to go to? It's a new world order. There's no place we can escape to.
Oh, no, I'll probably go to a third world country where it's a lot cheaper to live, and I'll continue what I'm doing from there. But there's no way I'm going to allow myself to be subject to the whims of local council, you know, and it'll take at least another 20 years before the third world gets to where the first world will be. So, you know, that will give me a little bit extra time to try to wake people up, because If this country does vote yes in this referendum and they allow laws to be made by six people in your local council without any congressional oversight, no upper lower house, no seeing if the law's valid, no, you know, the way laws are made, it's got to go through the two houses, it's all, you know, they've got to vote on it, both parties, you've got all of these people questioning every single detail of it, That will transfer down to the six people in your local council who will be able to say, hey, you want to do this? And the other guys will go, yes, bang, okay, now it's law because we wrote it down on this piece of paper. And that's it. It becomes law in your local area. And if that happens, then, I mean, they'll go into a feeding frenzy. And within the next 10 to 15 years, no matter where you stand in the Western world, no matter where you stand in Australia anyway, you'll be in the fourth world. Because that's the way this country will go within the next 10 to 15 years if this referendum gets through. So really the only way I will be able to continue speaking the truth and trying to wake people up will be if I leave this country. I won't have a choice. It's either that or succumb to the machine and do what you said before. I mean, you're standing up against these people, just get arrested, thrown in jail. What good am I there? What good is it to anybody for me to do that? If the rest of the country is asleep enough to allow me to be arrested for speaking the truth and thrown in jail, then what's the point of it? What's the point [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of the whole thing, you know? So, you know, if I move to somewhere else, then I'll still be able to speak about what's going on here, and the people in Australia who are listening will see it happening around them. Maybe they will then rise up and take this this matter to task, and then I can come back and help them.
What if you had like a thousand? What if you had like a thousand people? Let's say you get arrested, Max. God forbid. And you're in a prison, and then all of a sudden, a thousand people show up with megaphones and riot shields or whatever, and just start screaming, "Let him go! Let him go!" And they bow to the pressure. I think that people like you and I, we are in a very different position to the rest of the people, maybe our listeners and things like that, who are very much on our own. We're in the eye of the public, which means we're also in the eye of the enemy. So it's a double-edged sword, I think, because if anybody can contact or find me, that means my enemies can contact and find me too. However, it also means that if anything were to happen to me or happen to you, all of these people that would find out about it may or may not do something. And I just really hope that that's my protection net at the end of the day, that all these people that I've helped come on air and expose a little bit of scumbaggery and done some volunteer work or whatever would come to my aid if I ever needed it, you know. And, you know, having a look at the long, massive list of the people that I've had on this show, my goodness, I would really, really not want to be the person who is arresting me and having to deal with the fallout.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, but the thing is, I mean, you need 100,000 people to stand up with you when you do this. I mean,
yeah,
it's become so obvious what's going on here. You know, it's become so obvious. And people, the unfortunate thing is that people are simply not questioning their surroundings. They're not questioning authority. And I was speaking to someone the other day about the referendum, and they said, oh, that'd be a good thing, get rid of state government. You know, that'd be a good thing to put it down on a local level. So at least it's people who know the area. And I'm thinking, you don't get it, do you? You know, it's not about that. It's about who's going to be making laws. Do you want six people to be able to make the laws that run your life? You know, so there's so many people that don't understand it. And if it's got to that point, but it gets to a point where you have to retreat and start speaking from the hilltop rather than the valley, and that's just the way it's going. If it becomes untenable for me to live here, and the only choice I've got between moving and incarceration, well, I'll move, because I'm not going to stop speaking out. And if local councils are given legal clout, then, you know, people like you and I will be the ones that they'll find something to get you for, you know. And so, you know, it just gets to a stage, and I've been given all these signs. I mean, the property that I'm being on has been sold. I've got to move from this property that I've been on for 3.5 years, and all sorts of things. There's about 10 things have happened which are pushing me to move. So I don't know. I'm just going to go with the synchronicity.
You know what I think is going to happen, Max? I think you're going to find an even better place. I think you're going to find even better people. And I think you're going to grow exponentially. Right, and that's what I find always happens when really bad things start happening to you. Really good things are just on the horizon. We'll be right back with Max Egan at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around
mind you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, everybody. This is a final segment this hour that I have with Max Egan. Next hour, we will have Petrea Patrick from American Empire, the new documentary. And we were talking over the break about just, you know, doing this kind of thing and not having a job. It doesn't mean we're not working. Like, we really are working. And I was just thinking about it this morning, Max, is here's the thing. Let's say you're working 8 hours a day for somebody else. You spend about an hour plus tops or something commuting there and then commuting back. So you wind up actually really about maybe 10 hours of the day because you've also got to get ready in the morning and do all that kind of stuff. So whereas me, I barely ever leave the house and I'm still working the 10 hours a day. So it depends what I'm really interested in doing. Am I interested in working for somebody else for 10 hours a day for an assured income and never having any freedom of any kind and always having to leave my house and always having to do what everybody else tells me and look how they want me to look? Or do I want to do everything that I want to do and just work the same amount of hours anyway? You know, it's a choice. And in Australia, as you've been alluding to over the break, it's getting really, really dire in terms of the cost of living. And I wanted to plead with the listeners. Max is always really, he's an honourable man. And I consider myself maybe a bit less than honourable. I ask for donations, and I do it regularly because I know that I wouldn't survive without it. Max, on the other hand, reserves himself because he wants to just, you know, keep volunteering and keep doing the good thing and fighting the good fight. But I want to ask on his behalf at least. Please go to thecrowhouse.com and send Max some money. Okay, do you have a donate button or something there, Max?
Yeah, I got a PayPal donate button. My sister looks after the account for me.
Yeah. Send him some frickin' money, ladies and gentlemen. The poor man is living in Byron Bay, which is like, I don't know, it's turning into the Gold Coast, which is the, I don't know, high-rise is right on the beach kind of thing. Just so frickin' expensive to live that it's just becoming absolutely insane, totally untenable. And when you ain't got enough money to frickin' survive, gosh dang it, that's stressful. It's a real pain. And I feel for you, man. And I want people to help you.
Well, it's just the way Australia is, mate. This is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just, and even when I'm saying about leaving here, it isn't that I'm running or anything. It's just that I'm being pushed. I'm being pushed away. It's just the fact that this property is up for sale. I've been here for 3.5 years. I've got to leave this. I've got some friends who've got land in the Philippines. They've offered me a place over there. So it's just all pushing me towards that. Plus, with the Full Circle project that I want to try to get off the ground this year, it doesn't look like I'm going to be home here in Australia for much of the time anyway. So there doesn't really seem to be much point in getting anywhere around here. And I'm just thinking it's time to leave. It's getting very, very expensive to live in Australia, and it's just going to go up and up and up with the carbon tax. I think the world needs to pay attention to what's going on in Australia, because Australia is very much more ahead with this whole Agenda 21 thing than most other countries. And so people need to pay attention to what's happening here, because that's what will be happening in other countries. This is what will happen in England with the austerity measures they're bringing in there. This is what will happen with the United States. You know, if they manage to disarm the people and create the conflict that they're trying to create, and I really think what they're pushing for is conflict, because you can even see now they've been trying to enact executive orders, and they're talking about all sorts of stuff. You know, there's talk of executive orders. There's different states trying to put forth different gun restrictions and limiting magazine capacities and all sorts of stuff, and they're being challenged at every single level. They're being challenged state by state, council by council, government by government, household by household, sheriffs. I mean, there's so many people that are standing up against this that they're never going to be able to do it with legislation or even with executive orders. The American people simply will not give up their guns. The only way they're going to be able to get it through is through conflict. And so that's what they're pushing for. I think the attack on the Second Amendment is a carrot that they're dangling in front of people. And the way they've set up Sandy Hook so it looks like a conspiracy theory, even if it isn't, I mean, I don't know whether these people are actors. I don't know whether the kids died. I don't know. I wasn't there. I haven't got enough information. Nobody has. But there's so many things that have been done to make it look like it's a conspiracy. And then you've seen the vilification of the truth movement around it. So you can see what's going on here. You can see how it's being played. They're pushing. They're pushing for conflict. And as soon as conflict starts, they got all the FEMA camps in place. They just issued all the hollow points to Homeland Security. They got predator drones in the sky. They got the microwave cannons, sound cannons, militarized police. They got everything ready to lock the whole place down. And they're pushing for conflict. Conflict is the only way they're going to get the guns from the American people. That's why, I mean, I'm just hoping people are drawing up articles of impeachment now. And as soon as Obama signs that executive order to repeal the Second Amendment, he gets handed impeachment papers straight away. That's what I'm hoping, because there is still a peaceful way to do it. And hopefully the process of impeaching this man will put that spirit of America back into the hearts of the people, and they'll want to stand up and address this situation. Hopefully they'll see how far it's got. But, you know, you look at it, you look at America, you've got. I mean, we've already been disarmed here, so it doesn't matter. All they're doing now is they're subdividing the lawmaking down into local council level so they can milk the place suburb by suburb. This is what they'll do in America as well eventually. They'll bring it all right down to local council level so they can extract the wealth of the people in the local area. But what you've got in America, you've got a country that's legalized torture, it's militarized the police, it's got secret prisons, it's removed habeas corpus, the right of knowing what you're charged with or having legal representation or anything like that. They've got, like I said, secret prisons, illegal wars, legalized torture, and now they want to take the weapons away from the people. I mean, if people can't see what's going on here, you've got this border security, which is like an iron curtain around the place. You know, if people can't see what's going on, then God help America. They really do need to pay attention to this, and they need to be drafting articles of impeachment right now, everybody. And the whole country needs to down tools and stand up for what's going on there, because if America falls, then this war machine will be left to just run rampant. So the world's in a very precarious situation at the moment with what's going on here in Australia, what's going on in America, what's going on in England. It's happening everywhere. What's going on across Europe, the merging of Croatia into the EU. I mean, it's happening everywhere. So this is the year that I think people have to stand up and pay attention. They've got to step above it and realize that all of this is breach of trust, and that's the way we approach it. You know, we need some sort of unity. We need to respect each other. And you know, as I've often said so many times, it comes down to yourself as well, knowing the power that you've got to stand up against this system. And that's what I've been doing for 5 years. And I'm still free. I'm still out of jail. I'm still doing what I do. You know, I don't do things which would get me harassed, such as driving without number plates and all this sort of stuff, because it's not about that. It's about stepping above it and waking the community up to the power that they've got so that we can all remove our government bondage. Not just me. It's no point me going down a free man rabbit hole and establishing freedom for myself. I want to take the whole community with me. I want the community to wake up to who and what they are so we can rein this system in, so we can have a viable planet again. That's what we've got to do. I mean, unfortunately, it's just going to have to get worse for some people. They're going to have to wait till it's really in their face. I mean, for some people, it just isn't in your face enough already. You know, but as the bills go up and the times get tougher, which they will over the next 10 to 15 years, I mean, that's all they really need to do. They could reduce the first world to the fourth world in a matter of 10 years if they get a good run. It may take them 20, may take them 25, but that's what they're doing. And you watch, over the next few years, you will see the wealth from the first world being transferred slowly into the third world, and that will rise up. And we will become, you know, basically what they are now, only probably a bit worse.
See, my opinion is, Max, that you don't wake up unless you've been startled out of your restful slumber. You people need to suffer. People need to go through heaps and quantitative amounts of just Shiite Muslim that just shocks them and destroys their life and their sense of pride and reality and patriotism. You need to have something really frickin' bad happen to you before you start waking up in such a quantity that we really expect from people now, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they're doing it very gradually, so people don't get that shock.
Yeah.
They don't get that shock. And as they dumb down the population and the kids get more into mobile phones and video games and they fill them full of more fluoride and GM food, they don't think about it. They just don't think about it. They just bumble along. Oh, yeah, this is the best job I can get. And their intelligence gets lower and lower because of all the GM stuff that they're doing. You know, that's just the way they do it. They do it very, very gradually. As soon as people start to wake up and some sort of a movement happens, and you see things like Sandy Hook vilifying the truth movement, you still gradually, little gradual things here, you know what I mean? They plan years in advance.
I got an idea. I got an idea. You know how, frack, we'll come to the end of the hour, damn it. You know how Edward Bernays says, you know, you don't need to convince the people, just convince the doctors and they'll convince the people for you? I think the truth is should actually be really going after the high-powered intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, all those kind of people who currently run society, and try and wake them up specifically, and they'll wake the rest of the population up for us.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, many of them are locked in ego because they have their certificates, which they believe means that they know more. You know, we've got this senator or a politician in South Australia, Anne Bresington. I don't know whether you've seen that. She's on. She's been speaking out against Agenda 21.
Oh, Anne, yeah. I'm having her on the show soon, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is fantastic. This is a politician that's speaking out. So, yeah, maybe we are reaching these people, brother.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not frickin' impossible. Freedom has happened before. Tyrants always wind up getting overthrown. And I think that if we have faith in humanity, faith in ourselves, we can accomplish what others would think impossible. Because those who think it is impossible, it's only impossible for them. Because you've just got to accept the truth that anything is possible. Max, thank you very much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure coming on the show, Vinny. Always a pleasure, brother. Thank you for what you do.
All right, mate. We'll see you again sometime. All right. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen.